This is Fusebox 279. Holy carb, man. Hang on, bro. Yeah? Hello? This is Fusebox. Timo? Oh, hey, bro. Listen, gotta call you back. Huh? Are you sure? I mean, can't you just wait until after we... Uh-huh. Oh, no kidding.
Well, this can't be good.
Well, look, bro. I don't know what to tell you. Bigger isn't always better, right? Trust me, okay? No, dude, I'm telling you, size doesn't matter, bro. You're just gonna have to work with what you...
Yeah, definitely not good.
Yeah, huh? No, I'm serious, bro. It's okay. Just learn to work with what you got. Trust me, if it doesn't bother her, it shouldn't bother you. I know, but, Timo... Timo, bro, you're getting worked up over nothing. Being smaller is okay. Being small doesn't mean you can't... Timo. Timo, there's nothing you can do about it. So, look, Timo, look, I gotta go, bro. I know. It's not fair, but there's nothing you can do about it. Size doesn't matter, okay? I gotta go. I gotta go. Later.
Do I even want to know?
Well, the big guy is trying to learn ballroom dancing, but he says Eco is too small to dance with and he wants a bigger dance partner.
Well then, I was right. I really didn't want to know, and I don't want to be his dance partner.
Same! So, from the top?
Hit it.
Fuse box.
Folks, this is Fuse Box number 279. Political kayfabe, whatever that is. And you have two left feet and are about to go down for the count.
Oh, you're wrong, you stupid piggy. I'm the most popular president in the history of the world. No one has the numbers I have. No one knows more about numbers than me. I have the best numbers. I invented numbers.
Time's up.
What do you mean, time's up? You're just a dumb machine. See what I did there? I removed the B in dumb, because you're dumb. Many, many people don't know that there's a B in the word dumb, but I just removed it by executive order. Yeah, no more B in dumb. But there's a... What is that? Does anyone hear that? Anyway, there's also a bee in ballroom, which we do need, okay? My big, beautiful ballroom. And look at all the bees in there. Need them. Gotta have them. Very important to national security. Need them to protect me from all the fake assassination attempts that were staged. I mean, that the radical left, Democrats, are attempting. Wait. What is that? What is that whistling sound? It's getting louder now. You know, it sounds like a cartoon piano falling. I like cartoons. Yeah, my favorite cartoon.
Bingo. That's the big black piano taxpayers bought for your big, beautiful ballroom, you bumbling boob.
Not enough bees for you, you fat frickin' fascist?
And hello there, friends. Welcome in to this, the 279th edition of Fusebox, emphatically titled Political Kayfabe. More about that title in a bit. I'm your fighting the good fight, but in the wrong war host, Mark Rose, and over there, a man who never pulls his punches.
Pulled a groin muscle the other night, bro. Does that count?
The undisputed heavyweight champion of voluminous volume optimization, weighing in at a nearly impossible to believe...
Don't do it, bro.
Weighing in at a weight appropriate to his height...
Careful.
If he was 7'12".
You suck, bro.
Milt Caines, everybody.
Thank you kindly. I think. Going all WWE on this one, are you?
Well, you know, as you take a long lens view of the current Republican regime and the shenanigans they pull literally every day of the week and twice on Sunday, it has really and truly become what is commonly referred to as kayfabe.
That's a term for fakery, yeah?
Well done, Mr. Caines.
Well, I have my moment.
Well, yeah, in short, kayfabe has been associated with the wrestling world, but in essence, it means trickery or fake front. It's actually uncertain as to where the word kayfabe originated, but many point to the carny world, where kayfabe meant to be fake.
Well, carnies would know, and so would Republicans.
They certainly would, truly. Yeah, all we have to do is look slightly sideways, and the constructed fakery abounds. We've even got a blatant example of outright perjurious documentation from a case in, say it with me, Florida.
Shocking.
I know. It's unbelievable. Literally. But be that as it am, right here on Fusebox, we've got a spiffy and shiny new review from our good buddy 42nd Street Pete for the Grindhouse Minute. This one, dating back to the glorious days of blaxploitation films and starring football Hall of Famer Jim Brown.
And Pam Grier? Is Pam Grier in it? Tell me Pam Grier's in it.
No. Not in this offering, sadly.
Crap.
But Martin Landau stars as a real nasty guy in this one.
No, not the same, bro. Not even close.
Yeah, I totally understand. And I totally agree. So, please, do stick around, friends.
Or don't. Unless you already were.
I want you all off my property. Do you understand that? Do you?
Friends, I just wanted to once again take a moment to tell you about a genuine labor of love from Fusebox contributor and just all-around decent chap, 42nd Street Pete, Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine. Well, in the first issue of GR, Pete does a fabulous job of retelling that first time he discovered what is commonly referred to as Euro horror, way back in 1965, when films like these played in real theaters and not on flickering TV sets at midnight or Saturday afternoons. Yeah, titles like The Awful Dr. Orloff, Lady Frankenstein, or even Terror Creatures from the Grave, where a youngster could spend an entire day in these theaters having the time of their lives. And as Pete writes, despite what you might think, be in an even safer place to experience them than today. Pick up a copy of Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine today. There's a link in the show description to do just that. We asked Steve Schrudelman to shrink his own head, but it's to prove a point.
Oh yeah, this could be good. Uh-huh. If you help me.
TheFuseBoxShow.com.
So, sadly, friends, Republican kayfabe continues.
Yeah, it just looks to me like another grift to get this stupid damn ballroom built by the pedophile in chief.
First, we're told it's going to cost $200 million to build this thing. Then the price jumped to $400 million.
Yeah, he says he doubled the size because You know, bigger is better.
And, of course, as we know, size matters to President Tiny Hands. Anyway, the price doubles. Then it's, but don't worry. It's all going to be funded by outside money.
More grift.
Then it's, by the way, America, it's now $1 billion, and it's being paid for by your taxpayer dollars.
But wait, that money is actually for Secret Service enhancements, don't you know? So, of course, there's nothing to see here, folks, right?
And I love this. Democratic Senator Jackie Rosen of Nevada released a report that showed what $1 billion could actually buy. Rent for 62,000 families, or child care for 79,000 infants. Even Republican Representative Marlon Stutzman couldn't defend the price tag. He says, it just kind of seems upside down.
Oh, you think, Stutzman? Kind of upside down.
Now, pretty much all Republicans are running from this scam vanity project of Trump's. Republican Senator Rand Paul said it probably won't survive. Speaker Mike Johnson, another Republican shill and sycophant, even hinted that the Senate would drop the project entirely. Republican Representative Nick LaLotta of New York said, most of us assume this is going to die. People think that at a time where Americans are paying $4.50 for gas, a ballroom just doesn't mix.
Hey, and by the way, gas is way over $4.50 now.
Exactly.
And this is just another shocked realization from the frickin' guardians of pedophiles.
Ah, GOP. Yeah, I see what you did there. Yeah. But yes, the mind boggles.
And speaking of GOP scum-sucking water rats.
Yes, sir.
Did you catch that story about that wonky-eyed wanker FBI Director Kash Patel snorkeling at the USS Arizona site at Pearl Harbor?
Okay, I did. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah. He got some kind of pass to do recreational snorkeling at the site of one of the most devastating naval tragedies ever. Bro, that area isn't a goddamn theme park. It's a war grave.
I know.
It's hallowed ground.
Exactly. And there are still American sailors and Marines entombed in the USS Arizona to this day.
Yep. And oil still seeps up from the wreckage all these years later. They call it the Black Tears of the Dead. Even a fucking Republican should know that it's a place of reverence, not recreation.
What do you suppose the karmic bill for that behavior will be?
Oh, bro. Personally, I hope it bankrupts that weird little piece of shit. Do you realize that none of those boot-licking losers in Trump's regime was willing to say, no, snorkeling around the remains of the USS Arizona would be disrespectful. Don't do it.
It would instead demonstrate what we already know, Mr. Keynes. Members of the Republican Party are clearly dead inside.
Or just plain stupid.
Or both. But it's further evidence that there seems to be absolutely no bottom to the thoughtlessness of this regime.
Oh no, none. It's all about the grift, bro. I'm sure if that orange idiot in the Oval Office could figure out a way to acquire and sell the U.S. Arizona's Black Tears, he'd do it in a New York minute.
That lie.
And speaking of sucky, sand-sucking scum suckers, how about these sucky and scummy folks? So, in a place not unfamiliar with cramming politically motivated agenda down the throats of its residents, or, in this case, its state employees, the proverbial worm has most assuredly turned. Specifically, a Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission biologist named Brittany Brown was, quote, let go after she posted a meme to her private Instagram account following the death of controversial conservative political commentator and self-described free speech advocate Charlie Kirk. According to the ACLU, who took up her case, Brown, a skilled biologist who dedicated more than 7 years of her career to protecting and preserving Florida's natural resources, was fired in 2025 after state officials falsely claimed her private post caused significant operational disruption and generated hundreds of public complaints. However, friends, and this is the hill where the whole Republican regime always goes to die. Anytime we get to the discovery phase of the legal process, the place where the truth actually resides, the wheels come off the GOP clown car. Discovery in the Brittany Brown case revealed the claims of, quote, significant disruptions were completely fabricated. In May 2026, the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Florida entered an order imposing sanctions on an FWC official who submitted a false affidavit and on the law firm of Lawson Huck Gonzalez for engaging in vexatious litigation on behalf of the state. A trial had been scheduled for June of this year. However, Florida officials have agreed to resolve Brown's claims that FWC Executive Director Roger Young and Habitat and Species Conservation Director Melissa Tucker violated Brown's First Amendment rights when they terminated her employment over a personal post.
Boom!
Yeah, now get this. Under the terms of the settlement, FWC will pay Brown $275,000, including $40,000 in back wages and $235,000 in compensatory damages, plus $210,000 in attorney's fees. FWC also agreed to provide Brown a neutral reference for future employment inquiries and to permit her to interact with FWC staff and resources on the same basis as any other external partner or volunteer, thus preserving her ability to continue her conservation work through partner organizations. In response, Brittany Brown, the plaintiff in the case, stated, "All I wanted was my job back. I see no leaders among FWC leadership." But that's to be expected when a state's agency becomes the governor's personal puppet show. The, quote, "free state of Florida," end quote, only provides First Amendment protections to those in favor with the current administration, while the rest of us are expected to fall in line or risk losing our livelihoods. FWC would rather send an official to make a fraudulent, defamatory statement in federal court than admit any wrongdoing. This administration would rather spend Floridians' tax dollars to line the pockets of the governor's chosen law firms than admit they made a poor, politically motivated, and stinky decision. My editorial. She goes on to say that someone made sure to alert libs of TikTok that FWC had fired me 10 minutes after meeting with me and well before communicating with the public. These concerning practices underscore the extent to which political pressure from Tallahassee is influencing our state agencies. FWC employees deserve better, and so do Floridians, she says. Yes, they do. So, Bacardi Jackson, executive director of the ACLU of Florida, responded with this. Quoting here, "The First Amendment is not a privilege the government grants to those who speak in ways it approves of. It's a right that belongs to every person in this country, including every public employee who shows up to serve their community. Florida has spent years telling its public employees that their rights stop at the agency door. Brittany Brown refused to accept this false premise. She expressed a private thought on a private account, and the state of Florida destroyed her career for it, then lied in federal court to cover it up. That is not governance. That is retaliation. Brittany fought back when it would have been easier to walk away. And today, we celebrate that courage."
Amen.
And they conclude here, This settlement makes clear that there is a cost for the government's abuse of power, and it should put every state agency in Florida on notice. We see you. We are litigating, and the First Amendment is not negotiable on our watch.
Yeah, our First Amendment is a right, not a privilege, you Republican morons.
Yeah, and my favorite as well is this. It's another example of something the legal system has a category for. It's called capricious and vindictive prosecution, something that the current Department of Justice is being called out on nearly every damn day.
Yeah, just another reason to use the stark fist of removal.
The show for everybody, but not everybody will like it. TheFuseBoxShow.com.
Alrighty, friends. Let's close out the festivities here with another rip-roaring installment from 42nd Street Pete, this one from the Blaxploitation era, starring Jim Brown, called Black Gun. Take it away, Pete.
Guns, please. That's an unusual name.
It's an old slave name. I had an ancestor who was trusted enough to carry a white man's gun. But the only word that his master ever said to him was, gun. You know, if he had been more conversational, I might have been called, gimme the gun.
And now it's time for another Grindhouse Minute with 42nd Street Pete.
Going back to 1972, with the Blaxploitation explosion that started, Jim Brown did a ton of these, but he did one called Black Gun, where he owns this nightclub, and his brother is sort of a radical who's out robbing the mob, of all things. I believe the main mob guy is Martin Landau in this one. He's sort of involved with a bunch of revolutionaries, which includes Bernie Casey. So the mob, of course, wants their money back. And they go to Mr. Gunn and his nightclub and tell him that, you know, they really, really would like to know where his brother is, this and that and the other thing. And of course, he ain't going to give them up. So they eventually find his brother. His brother is killed, which, of course, sends Big Jim out on the rampage, where he joins forces with these revolutionaries and pretty much baits the mob. And there's a big, big showdown in a junkyard where it's the revolutionaries against the mafia, and there's tons of gunplay, exploding squibs, people buying it left and right, and eventually it's down to Jim and the main mob guy played by Martin Landau, and of course, Jim wins out. Now, the thing about this film and other films like it was, it worked on 42nd Street because there was definite tension there between the black pimps and the mob in general, going back to where the mob never really wanted to get involved in street prostitution and thought pimps were stupid. But when the pimps started opening massage parlors and cutting prices of mob-run massage parlors, that's where some shit started. And there was a couple places that were firebombed in the middle of the night. People were arrested. But, you know, there was always that tension going on between, you know, the black gangsters and the Italian mob. So, like I said, Black Gun, that film sort of mirrors it, as do a few other films in that era.
Stay safe. We'll catch you on the flip side.
This has been another Grindhouse Minute with 42nd Street Pete.
As you well know, I'm a big, big fan of these films, Mr. Keynes, but I gotta admit, somehow Black Gun actually eluded me.
What? Did hell just freeze over?
Well, I mean, you know, there were a bunch of them for whatever reason, just kind of fell into obscurity, but I've seen many of them for sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm a major fan of Pam Grier myself, bro. She kicked some serious buttloads of ass back in the day. Hot.
Yes. Yes, she could. And yes, yes, she was. And then, of course, Quentin Tarantino genuflected in her general direction with 1997's Jackie Brown.
Right. Yeah, she was in that one, wasn't she?
Yeah, oh yeah, with gusto.
But Did she have moxie?
Oh, Mr. Keynes, Pam Grier's Moxie was full to overflowing. A great film. You have to see it.
I'm on it.
And with that, we'll call it a show, friends, but not before thanking our contributors to this edition of Fusebox, the aforementioned 42nd Street Pete for another splendid slippery slide down the slimy slopes of Grindhouse, and Rhett Tillman for their absolutely splendiferously delicious ID pronouncements. And, of course, we would be remiss if we didn't extend fantastical foxtrotting thanks to the Gene Kelly-like twinkle-toed and nimble-footed, nearly lighter-than-air, bordering on Fred Astaire-nessismosity.
For the love of Ginger Rogers.
Technical assistance of the utterly effervescent and effusive ambassador of ambience, Mr. Milt Keynes, everybody.
Take a breath, dude. Jeez. But I thank you most kindly, and all you folks out there, please hit our Patreon page and sign up. Fusebox members get free cool crap. Patreon.com/TheFuseboxShow is the place to be. So, be there.
And add to your Fusebox to-do list a visit to the Fusebox store at TheFuseboxShow.com.
Please and thank you.
Additional thanks to Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine for their continued support. And finally, bigly huge thanks, too, to you all of our fine and freaky friends out there for tuning in. We do so appreciate all of you for once again joining us here. We hope you enjoy yourselves as much as we do, because we certainly couldn't do this without you.
Even if we wanted to, which we don't. Or did she?
Well, I'd say if it's going to or ought to get did, she'd be the one to do it.
Yep.
You know, you should call her. Whoever she is.
I should call her. I should also call Pam Grier.
And Joyce DeWitt?
Oh, goes without saying, bro. But thanks for saying it anyway.
I am always, always, always happy to be of assistance, Mr. Keynes. Oh, and by the way.
Yeah?
Does size really not matter?
No, size definitely matters. You can ask anyone.
Can I ask Joyce DeWitt?
I really should call her.